Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Today's guest is Ray Woodson, but before we talk to Ray about the Giants' 1-0 loss in Arizona against Patrick Corbin, who threw a one-hitter, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, on Tuesday night, the Giants were almost no-hit by Patrick Corbin and the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, that was really the greatest intrigue there for a while. And then, of course, are the Diamondbacks going to win this game with Johnny Cueto finally out of the game? And in fact, they do, as Tony Watson had that one walk that really cost him. And then the Diamondbacks scored just the one run to win it 1-0 and the one hitter for Corbin. So let's start there. Let's start with what's going on with the Giants offense. They've lost 4 games in a row now, and we know that the offense has been struggling, but I have to give a lot of credit to Corbin because this guy was just dealing. I mean, great breaking ball, fastball that he backed it up, you know, where they didn't know when that was coming and when the breaking ball was coming. So it just looked like they were befuddled all night.
Yeah, and he was keeping that breaking ball at the bottom of the zone for much of the night, or outer part of the zone. He's working around the edges beautifully. And then he changes the elevation with a fastball, and they couldn't catch up to that. And you saw a lot of swings, Joe, that were just broken down. And, you know, they struggled over the weekend in San Diego against lesser pitchers. So we know there's a problem there. But really, as my old colleague Ralph Barbieri would say, two things can be equally true. This offense is sputtering badly, but Corbin brought his A game. There's no doubt about it. He would have shut down a lot of teams with the stuff they had in this game.
Let's talk about how the no-hitter was broken up, because actually before Brandon Belt got his check swing base hit, Buster Posey in the previous inning, to me it looked like right off the bat, that is going to break up the no-hitter. He smashed it into center field, and it was just a tremendous catch by Pollock. A.J. Pollock just sprinted back, and then it seemed like at the end of that play that he wasn't going to get there, that he just, you know, was able to reach out at the last moment. And usually in a no-hitter, you have a play like that. Remember the perfect game by Matt Cain? You had, you know, the Gregor Blanco and throughout baseball history. So I just thought, okay, he's getting the no-hitter here. But of course he didn't. But that was really a great play by Pollock.
Yeah, that's baseball right there, isn't it? Posey hits one pretty hard, and it takes a tremendous catch up the alley, and then a check swing is the hit, you know, against the shift.
Yeah.
And he beat it out for an infield single. That's as much, says as much about the game and what you see in the box score as anything. But yeah, I mean, it looked like he was on his way to that kind of performance. And especially with the Giants' offense and the state it's in right now, there were very few good swings, as you mentioned, Posey. And, of course, Hundley, the last at bat, tomahawked one that was almost overrun by the left fielder, but he was able to flag it. This is a team now that has failed to score 2 runs in 9 of its 16 games.
Oh.
That's not going to cut it. Again, Corbin was going to do what he was going to do in this game, but it just magnifies, you know, the issues the Giants offense is having right now.
Ray, I can't believe there were media members who will remain unnamed at this point that were asking if it was okay if Belt would bunt in that situation. I mean, yeah, of course it's okay. It's a close game. It's nothing. You know, he's going to try to break up a no-hitter, but he's also going to try to get on base. Now, he didn't bunt. He ended up with a check swing that sort of served like a bunt, even though I thought actually a bunt might have served him well there. I know they have the shift on, and Belt in the postgame comments said that, well, you know, they weren't playing as deep as they normally do. I still thought a bunt would have served him well there, and that's no problem. But I can't believe that question is even asked.
Yeah, in that kind of game, you do what you got to do, especially if you're not reaching or getting good swings against the guy. Get him to at least pitch out of the stretch. He didn't do that hardly at all. I think it was, you know, after the Belt hit, but, you know, before that it was twice he was pitching in the stretch earlier in the game. That was it. So you've got to try to do at least that as well, in addition to getting the tying run on base. I think in that situation, in that kind of game, hell yeah, you do what you can, and you don't worry about the optics. And, you know, probably, you know, the way baseball is, at some point somebody was going to get some chin music after that. But, you know, not by Corbin, not in a game like this. He doesn't want to risk putting another runner on.
Well, I remember there was a situation, you know, maybe it was sort of similar. I know it was a one-run game, and I remember Ben Davis was the hitter. I don't know why I remember that, but he bunted, and it was one of those situations, and it might have been Schilling pitching. I'm not really sure about that, but I do remember that Bob Renly was really upset, and I didn't understand it. I mean, it was a 1-0 game. Of course you can bunt to break up a no-hitter if you want to get on base to try to, you know, score that one run.
Number one, you're trying to get a base runner. Number two, they shifted on Belt. So that left the left side open. So I wouldn't have blamed him, although, as you mentioned, Belt said postgame that they weren't as far back as they usually are. There was still room there. So I'm sorry. All this unwritten rule stuff, I think you throw it out the window in this case.
So that question was asked, which I thought was silly. The question that I didn't hear asked, now I didn't, you know, I don't think we get the entire Bruce Bochy conversation with reporters when NBC Sports Bay Area gives us a peek. And by the way, it's cool that they do that to begin with. But I never heard the question about why pinch hit Hundley for Panic. Now, Hundley did have a good at-bat. But when he came up there, I was going, why? I mean, I know he's a right-handed batter, but he's hitting about 170. Panic was one of your only base runners on the night when he had a walk. He's hitting around 300. I just didn't understand that. Why are you pinch hitting for Panic? I mean, yeah, maybe Hundley runs into one, but Panic has 3 home runs this year.
Yeah. You know, I think it was a 6 of 1, half a dozen of another in that situation. But the lefty-on-lefty matchup was really tough tonight for everybody, even though Panic did coax the walk and had been swinging the bat well. And, hell, he's homered off Kershaw this year. But the other part of it was you get the righty-lefty matchup, and Hundley had been swinging the bat well in San Diego. So I think that, you know, Bochy was playing what he thought were the percentages there. But, you know, the problem there, of course, is if you get to extra innings, you've taken one of your better bats out of the lineup, and you've pinch hit with a catcher as well. But, you know, in that situation, you're just trying to get to extra innings. So I'm not going to ding him too much for that. I see what you're saying, but I think that probably would have ended up being pretty much the same result.
Inside China Basin continues with Ray Woodson right after this. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Let's talk about Johnny Cueto and what he means to this team, because this was a spectacular outing. Yeah, I mean, Corbin was better because he went the distance and Cueto left after seven innings and 97 pitches, but 11 strikeouts, no runs, two hits, and he has just been phenomenal. It was too bad that he was out for a little while there because both of his ankles have had issues, and he actually had the mound worked on, and he might have been worried about his landing spot tonight, but man, the Giants really need this guy to be healthy all year.
Well, there's no doubt about it. If they're going to have any chance of getting into contention, and if they don't watch it, they're going to fall out of contention pretty quickly here.
Yeah, yeah.
They got to right this ship quickly. I know it's April, it's 16 games, but we saw what they did last year. We saw how the season played out, and it played out without a consistent Cueto and without Bumgarner. Well, they don't have Bumgarner this year, so Cueto has to be an ace, and they got to get better performances from the young arms, too. I think they've got a chance to do that with Suarez. You know, Black, certainly Chris Stratton pitched to Jim his last time out.
Yeah.
They're going to get Samardzija back, but they haven't been getting starting pitching going deep into the game, and the bullpen, which is already in a state of flux, is getting stretched. So you have a lot of things going wrong here to start the year, but that was the one piece of good news in Arizona, that Cueto looked just great, as he did in the first start of the year, and that changeup was fantastic. He was keeping hitters off balance, just like Corbin was all night long. I thought his command was great, but also the stuff was really good. And now his ankles aren't 100%. We know that. So you know, hopefully this isn't something that he's going to work through for the whole season, where it's on and off, because then you might start getting back into that inconsistent performance mode or not being able to take the ball. So if he comes out of this game okay and they're able to work on the ankles and keep him relatively sound, man, he looked like an ace tonight. There's no doubt about it. But he's going to have to continue to do that.
Well, so far, 20 innings, one earned run, two walks, 16 strikeouts. His ERA is 0.45. So, yeah, I mean, it's only a few starts, but he looks like he's, you know, off to this great start that they can count on him. And they're really going to need him because, I mean, this has been so difficult. You knew this was going to be a tough stretch, Ray, without their top pitchers and the schedule being what it is. I mean, to go on the road and face the Diamondbacks, the top team right now in the National League West, and then the Angels, who are playing really well. I mean, this is just a tough week to look at going into that. And after losing three straight games in San Diego, that had to just kind of smack them in the face right now.
Well, that's the troubling part, is they had to get some wins in San Diego, and they couldn't do it. They lost three out of four. That was where you would hope that you make up a little ground while you're playing all these teams like the Diamondbacks, who are off to a hot start, and the Angels. And you got a three-city road trip. They got four of those this year. And they got the Dodgers 10 times before the end of April, although the Dodgers right now are not playing particularly well. You figure they're going to pick it up. So, yeah, this is a critical time. You know, usually at the start of a season, you say, you let them play 35, 40 games, see what they're like. But, you know, after what happened last year, after the offseason moves, after the Bumgarner injury, you look at the schedule, and it's the old golf analogy. You could start out with a first-round 79, and you're out of the tournament.
What do you think are the highest priorities right now? I mean, obviously you got to get the bats going, so we can talk about what they could do there, but the bullpen hasn't been great either. And you had those starters, I mean, especially the Beedy starts and Ty Block as well, where, you know, they didn't last long and they didn't pitch well. So maybe that burned out the bullpen, but I do think the bullpen is an issue. You know, Watson tonight, notwithstanding, wasn't so bad, but, you know, Osich hasn't pitched well, and he was good in spring training. So that was kind of like you thought, oh, he's going to be pretty good, but, you know, he's already given up five runs and seven and a third, and it's small sample size, but, you know, Derek Law wasn't good in his outing. Dyson hasn't been good so far. I mean, there's really not many guys that you can count on other than Maranta.
Yeah, that's not going to cut it. And, you know, with Will Smith still out, Melanson out, they're thin down in that bullpen. You know, Strickland's been okay in the closer role, but my question at the start of the year was, how many chances is he going to get to close games? And, you know, in the last week, not that many. That's going to be part of the problem as well. Dyson was great last year, and he's off to a very rough start. And one of the problems, one of the many problems they had in a 98-loss season last year, was that middle relief, and they couldn't get the young lefties, Okert and Osich, to step up. They were both off. Now, Osic looked good in spring, but as you mentioned, rough start out of the gate. That's not what he needed. That's not what the team needs right now. But you know, beyond that, how about getting a lead? So, you know, your bullpen and your starting pitching can become a factor, you know. So it's not that, okay, you're behind 5-1 and the bullpen makes it 9-1 like it was in San Diego. I mean, the number one priority is getting this offense going. So clearly, Joe, they have to fire Bam Bam. Oh, wait, he's not the hitting coach anymore.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's not the problem, you know, as far as that. I mean, yeah, the thing that's going to really be interesting, Ray, is what happens in, you know, maybe a couple of weeks, because Pence is up over 50 at-bats now, and that's the one guy you sort of look at because, you know, he's up there in age. I mean, they just brought in McCutchen and Longoria, so they're not going to do anything there, and those guys are going to hit. I just think they are, and Pence has been on a, you know, on the downslide now for a little while, and you take a look at stats at AAA, and they are what they are. I mean, it is AAA, but Mac Williamson is just tearing it up. I mean, the stats right now, 514 batting average, 6 homers, and 16 RBIs in 10 games. I mean, that's incredible. So, and you know, so do they bring him up? We have seen this movie before where he's gotten off to good starts, but this is really kind of above and beyond what he's done before.
Yeah, even for AAA, even for the Pacific Coast League, those are pretty impressive numbers out of the gate. But it was also a continuation of what he was doing in spring with the adjustment in his batting stance and holding the hands lower, getting more launch and taking advantage of his power. Now, I would say you're in trouble if you're pinning your hopes on Mac Williamson helping save the season.
Right.
Not a knock.
No, you're right.
On Mac, but, you know, he hasn't been able to get traction in the major leagues up to this point, part of that due to injuries. He's one of those guys, Joe, and this may end up being the situation with this team where you just run him out there and let him get 300 or 400 at-bats. Finally see what he could do. A couple of summers ago, he was just starting to come into form, had a real good month, and then he got hurt again. So, you know, that's been the story of his time with the Giants, up and down, the yo-yo. But get him up here and see what he can do for 300 or 400 at-bats, and then make your judgment on that. And that time may be coming. Time may be coming also for Austin Slater, who can play multiple outfield positions and is now working out at first base. And, of course, Steven Duggar, who they look at as part of the future of their outfield. Now, none of these prospects, I want to caution people, none of these prospects would be considered top-tier prospects in somebody else's system.
Right.
I'll throw Chris Shaw in there as well. I mean, but they're guys with this team that could make an impact. To the point where they're championship contenders, I don't know about that. But at this point, very early in the season, you can't, I don't think, if you're the Giants, wait around. And I don't expect them to be as patient. I think there's going to be a lot more of a sense of urgency this time around in light of coming off a 98-game season. And if things aren't working well with the lineup you've got out there, you got to call some people up from Sacramento and see if they can breathe life into this offense. They may not be able to, but that's pretty much the move you have this early in the season. And if it goes south, then, yeah, there are going to be some trades. They're going to unload some people and try to get some prospects, and they're going to go with the youth movement. And I know there are a lot of fans who feel like that should be the call already. But really, in this offseason, they wanted to put together a team they thought could compete better than in 2017. They were kind of in a rock and a hard place where, you know, the young talent wasn't enough to turn things over. And, you know, they still had their core players from their championship years still in their prime, and they felt probably like they owed them, you know, an effort to put a competitive team on the field as well as all the season ticket holders. But, you know, my caution was, yeah, they may be better. It still may not be enough. And I think that's kind of where they are. They're in this catch-22 where, okay, these guys may not be working out, and you don't want to go south very early in the season, but your young players may not be enough to pull you out of that. At the same time, I think it's going to come to the point where they got to see what they can do. You know, I mean, I agree with you, Longoria. In fact, Longoria was just starting to hit when he got hurt. That was the unfortunate part of tweaking his ankle. And I think McCutchen will come around too. Although, if you took away that 6-hit game, good Lord, what was his batting average? I think it starts with an O, zero. If you take away the 6-hit game, it's unbelievable, you know. But there are a lot of other guys who are underwater too. So, man, it's whack-a-mole right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are pointing at Pence because he is striking out a lot, including you know, not hitting the ball. But here's the problem, Ray. I mean, it's really tough when you think about it, even if you're thinking 2 or 3 weeks down the road if Pence isn't hitting. You're paying the guy over $18 million this year, you know, $18.5 million. Okay, you could say, well, we'll just eat that. But here's the other thing. Who goes? Like, you know, if you're going to cut Pence, that's one thing. Or you're going to put him on the bench. If you put him on the bench and somebody's got to go and you're going to bring up a Mac Williamson, well, it's not going to be Gregor Blanco right now. He's pretty much your best hitter off the bench. It's not going to be Gorkys Hernandez. He's also one of your best hitters off the bench right now. So I don't know who's going anywhere. I mean, Tomlinson's an infielder, so it'd have to be an outfielder. Other than just flat out cutting Hunter Pence, I'm not sure what they do.
Well, I mean, it's says a lot when Gorkys Hernandez and Gregor Blanco, again, no knock on those guys, but when they're your best hitters coming off the bench, it's still not a good bench. And, you know, Pablo Sandoval's coming off the bench, and I said it a couple of weeks ago, you know, they had no pop last year. I mean, that's kind of the premise with having Pablo around. There's at least a little bit of a threat there, but it's only a little bit. These guys, you know, if they're 10 and 19, well, the hell with it. I mean, you can't sit there and say, this guy's going to save our season, Gorkys Hernandez. No, you at that point, all right, if you want to see what the young guys can do, the young players in your system, you're not going to worry about a veteran player. You just can't. A guy who's barely hanging on in the major leagues. You got to see what a Slater, what a Duggar, what a Shaw, what a Mac Williamson can do at that point. As for Pence, the money is always going to be a factor. That's, you know, that's a lot. I'm talking 5 years, $90 million the last year of it. But I also think it gets to a point with him where you say this is not working out, and that often happens in the last year of a deal. I don't see that happening right away where if things are going south with him, they cut him. But I don't think it would be very, very long. I think they're going to have a little more sense of urgency about that stuff this year, and you can't be concerned about the money. They're going to pay him the money no matter what they do. Maybe just use that roster spot for somebody that you consider a part of your future and not a part of your past. And it's looking more and more like he's very much a part of their past. I mean, he looks lost.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many more bats do you give him? Not many.
No, and you know he only has 3 RBIs. He's batting, you know, he's usually in the middle of the order, 3 RBIs. And Crawford, he only has 2 RBIs. I just looked at that thinking, man, I mean, that says something about them, but it also says there haven't been many opportunities, too. I mean, there just haven't been, a lot of runners on base, you know, just bases loaded all the time. They just haven't had too many games where, they've had a lot of rallies and everybody is going together. I think the question was asked to Belt about pressing and whether or not that's happening, and I think that's just natural. I think players do press. When a team starts to slide like this, everybody's trying to do a little bit more than they normally are capable of, and it's hard to guard against that, I think.
Yeah, and I've said this on more than one post-game show over the years. Hitting is contagious, but not hitting is contagious too.
Right.
And I think guys start getting out of their approach. They start getting out of their head a little bit and trying to do too much. And I think you're seeing a little bit of that. I think you had a snowball effect against Corbin where, you know, there were just a lot of uncomfortable bats against him in that game in Arizona to make matters worse. But there's no doubt about it. It can be a domino effect on the lineup. And, you know, again, I looked at this lineup at the start of the year. One of the concerns I had was what you were going to do with the leadoff spot. And, you know, Austin Jackson, I mean, he's a fourth outfielder at this point of his career. Okay, try him against lefties because they're facing a lot of lefties at the start of the year. He's not doing a heck of a lot either. So, you know, you start panic against righties, I guess. And, you know, he's off to a pretty good start, and he's one of the few guys who is. But what really gets me is that they're figured to be a little more length in this lineup, right? Where you add some right-handed power in McCutchen and Longoria. And you have Posey, and you have Panic, and you have Pence and Crawford. You figure, and Belt, and you figure it'd at least be a little more productive than it was in 2017. Well, 16 games in, and that's the 10th of the season. That's not the case. So, I said at the start of the year, this figures to be a little more productive lineup. It might not be, but this is what they've got. You got to see how it can do. But, again, that's kind of compared to where they were last year, the pressure to have a team that gets the fan base excited. You can't wait around too long. You've got to start making changes and see what else you can do with within the organization, because you really can't make trades right now.
To finish up on a positive note, I'm looking at this thinking that if Cueto keeps throwing like this, and I know he can't pitch like this all year, but if he throws close to this and Stratton throws like he did last time and even just overall so far, and second half of last year, Stratton was good. You get Bumgarner back in June. That's a really good top three in your rotation. I mean, that's solid. You have a chance to win a lot of games with those three pitchers. So if you straighten out your offense a little bit, if it doesn't go completely south and you haven't made a million changes, you know, in trades and all that stuff, they could salvage the season later on. I mean, it's so early right now. They just have to hang in there. We keep saying that, but they're going to have to figure out ways to just kind of hang in there the next few weeks and you know, into the next month and you know, hope that they can be playing decent baseball when Bumgarner comes back.
Well, that's why I say you have to have a sense of urgency with this offense right now, not put so much pressure on this pitching staff with, again, the bullpen in a state of flux and the starting pitching inconsistent, partly because of the injuries. And, yes, Stratton's been good. Cueto looks fantastic. You get Bumgarner back. Have you dug yourself too big a hole by the time Bumgarner gets back, which is, you know what, in June? Where are they going to be in June at that point? You know?
Yeah, that's the problem.
You got to keep in contact with 500. And now they've lost four in a row. And, you know, the other part of it is you've got a hot team at the top of the division already. You're going to lose contact with them right away, and it's going to be double digits, you know, in the deficit column. So, yeah, that's the key, is don't let this get out of hand by the time Bumgarner gets back, and it's quite possible it will. But if it doesn't, yeah, you're right. That's going to be the goal, is to stay in contact, probably with the second wild card. That's going to be your only real chance here. And maybe, you know, through the summertime, say you're still in contention for a wild card, you're still on the cusp, and you've got three or four starting pitchers who are rolling pretty good, okay, then you can think about making some deals. But if it's not that way by June or early July, you're making deals in the other direction.
Sure. One thing that could be positive as well is Will Smith coming back, because, you know, he's been throwing the ball pretty well at San Jose. I saw him pitch last week, and he looked pretty good. I mean, he looks like he's healthy, and that's the key. So hopefully he could join the Giants bullpen at some point soon. Maybe, I don't know. I don't think they have really a timetable right now, but that I've heard about anyway. But hopefully maybe in a few weeks we could see him.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be helpful. And again, with the bullpen in that state of flux, another arm down there to solidify things and help other people get back to roles they're more comfortable with. You know, Watson looks very good to start the year. Strickland's had his moments. You know, there's some promise there. Dyson has struggled. Osich has struggled. Derek Law just coming back. You know, there's still a lot of question marks there. So to get Will Smith back and be the guy he was before, you know, I'm not counting on that right away, but maybe down the road. The main thing is he's healthy. That could be some help. But again, will it be too late?
All right, Ray. Hey, looking forward to our Warriors Dubs OT podcast coming up on Thursday after the Warriors play the San Antonio Spurs in Game 3 of their playoff series. And hey, there's another team that the sky was falling, and now they've rebounded, and the Warriors look great. So, you know, maybe the Giants could have that kind of situation too.
Yeah, I'd like to be the Warriors kind of sky is falling, right?
Right.
That's when life is good. You know, they were cruising. They're cruising to close the season, and they've looked very good the first couple of games. But somebody asked me the key to the series, and the number one key is stay away, Kawhi. You know, keep working on that quad. Hope it's healthy next year.
Well, thanks for putting it all in perspective there, Warriors and Giants, Ray, and I'll talk to you in a couple of days.
All right, sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson talking Giants baseball, and Ray will be back with us on Thursday to talk Warriors basketball on the Dubs OT podcast. Join us again on Friday for Inside China Base, and our special guest will be Victor Rojas, the television play-by-play announcer for the Angels, as the Giants are facing the Angels in Anaheim this coming weekend. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.